Hour number 11. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles, California, in the Lucy Coleman studio. I'd like to talk with some of you guys because you're running your women off because of your lack of intimacy. And I can hear you in the background right now. Oh, yeah, I know you. I know it. I know the drill. You cry when it's over, but when it's over, it's done. And most of the time, your words sound a little bit like a song that I remember way back in the day by the Drifters. I think the words went a little bit like this. You remember this?
There goes my baby, moving on down the line, wondering where she is bound. I broke her heart and made her cry. Now I'm alone, so all alone. What can I do? What can I do?
There goes my baby.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
There goes my baby.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There goes my baby.
Whoa.
Let you go.
Yeah, I want to know if she loves me.
Well, the question is, do you still love her? No, the question is, do you really love her? What did she just play you for? What? Did she play you for a fool?
I wonder why she left me.
Well, how were you treating her? How did you love her? Okay, at least you know who left who. So all alone. Listen.
So all alone.
I want to know.
I just want to tell her that I love her.
Never too late. I love her and I need her.
Beside my side.
I need her beside my side.
To be my guide.
To be my guide. I like that. Yeah.
Where is my baby? Where is my baby? I want my baby. I want my baby. Whoa, whoa.
There she goes. There she goes. You know, we're talking about marriage and how to keep these relationships together, how to keep them wholesome. And today what we're going to do is we're going to talk to the guys about intimacy. Because I believe that as we talk about intimacy, that's something that we have to think about doing when we do it. What is it to be intimate? Thank you for joining me. This is Pastor John Coleman. I want to thank my good brother from Florida, Harry, that called. And I had a great conversation with him. And we were talking about the music back in the old days and how that music had an effect on us. And I thought that I was only one. No, it's man, it was back in the day, the innocence of music. We're going to be listening to some artists today. I'm going to be playing some music from the Temptations, that group. And since we're going to be talking about what are some of the things that separate our wives from us guys. And at the same time, ladies, I want to keep it on the light note to let you know how a guy really feels. And, you know, a lot of times they can't tell you about how they feel because they kind of, you know, are embarrassed that they're men. And then I'm going to play a number by, hopefully, by Smokey Robinson when he calls himself a clown. So this is going to be crying music. These songs are going to talk about, you know, how the Temptations, I Wish It Would Rain, and Smokey Robinson singing The Tears of a Clown. And then I think I looked up another one, and I was kind of like liking this one, Well, a couple of surprise ones that I have that I'm going to get into. Because I received an email from somebody and he said, how are we as men to be intimate with our women without being secular, you know, without us trying to look like X-rated all the time? How does this take place between the married couples? First of all, if you love the person, you never want to succumb to inappropriate, illegitimate behavior with the person that you say that you love. You know, the Bible says that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. Well, the bed becomes defiled when you are seeking to make something happen in that bedroom that God never intended to happen. Guys, you don't pick up your cues. I've already said that. You don't pick up cues of intimacy from the world. But now here again, what if your daddy never sat down and talked with you about intimacy on that level? Okay, especially how intimacy should be with a woman. Let's keep it personal. Did my father ever sit down and talk about that with me? The answer is no. My father and I, we practically never had any conversations. As a matter of fact, I didn't learn about the birds and the bees from my dad at all. I didn't. And I didn't learn from the guys in school because that, to me, I just denied that when I heard about it. Remember, I was one of the stork kids in school. That's how I believe the kids got here, because that's the kind of society that I grew up in. So, of course, when you're in middle school and everybody's talking about how babies get here and everything, you kind of hear it on the playground. You hear those kind of terms. But it's far different today because of the DVDs, the VHS tapes. Uncle Bud comes by and he's up late with your older brother, and they're in your older brother's bedroom looking at something, and you kind of sneak in and sit by the door. The door's cracked, and you see the stuff, and that's where you learn about that from. And then you talk to your big brother, and then he introduces you to that. Can I be real with it? Can I be real? And listen, if this offends some of you, like I said, I've run into my fundamentalist type that don't like this series. They don't like me doing this series. I don't know what level they want me to talk on. I remember I had Uncle Reggie, the one that molested me. Man, he and his buddies would come by. And I used to be in a bunk bed, and of course my bed was on the top, so I'd look out the window and I'd hear the conversations. I saw what was going on when they were smoking the grass out in the backyard. I knew. I saw it. That's where I learned most of the stuff that I learned about anything. I learned from heathens, straight up. Grew up in the ghetto, there it is. Now, if you want Pastor John to have been that kind of a person that grew up in a household, wait a minute. I thought that after my molestation that I was the only one being molested, until I spoke with some siblings after we got older, and they started crying when I told them about it. And they told me, I thought I was the only one. Oh, no. Now, maybe you didn't come from a family like that. You came from a nice, wholesome, nice Christian group. You've never seen anything like that, heard of anything like that. You don't even want your children to be around anything like that. Well, I hope not. But, you know, when you're sending little Jethro and little Sally over to your cousin's house to spend a weekend because they want to play these video games, do you know what they're watching? Do you know what cousin Jethro's brother-in-law is bringing by as he looks at things on the television? Do you know? Have you investigated this? I remember there was once I was pastoring, you know, I pastored people for years. Lady told me that she would go down south to visit her cousins and her aunts and uncles and everything, and somebody in the family was molesting her every year that she went down there for the summer. She finally, as a grown woman, told her mother because the young man came to Los Angeles to visit her, and the mother just slapped her face blue right in the kitchen and told her, we don't talk about that. We don't. Can you believe that in the church? And of course, when you get married and you have these kind of inhibitions because you were molested like that, taken advantage of like that, I can be truthful and tell you that the wife that I married after we were married years told me what her cousins and the older males would do to the girls there in the Philippines. Boy, did I get hot. Just crying that night. Man, when she told me that, she's crying and I'm crying. And that's when I made up my mind. Our children will be around absolutely no one. And you parents, listen to me. Do not leave your children unsupervised around people that you are not absolutely sure what the heck they are. Because they will start giving innuendos of sinful intimacies to your own children. Now, let me give you some things to beware of. Beware of a man whenever he comes by your house, he always have your children come and sit on his lap. Beware of that. You husbands, you need to be watching a man very close. Oh, come on over here and sit on my lap. Why in the world would a grown man tell a child something like that? That's the way that mess starts. Secondarily, be careful of who's always asking your children, even if they have children, can they come and spend the night at your house? Be careful of that. I'm just giving it to you the way it is. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it and make it pretty for you. Life is ugly. And some of these boogers that came up in the house with you, you know what they are. Some of them are your brothers and sisters because you knew that they were having problems when they came up with you. Yes. As a matter of fact, a guy told me, he says that when a survey was done in the Los Angeles City area, it says that a certain percentage, I think it said 42% of the children that are going to middle school do not have actual parents. In other words, they are in foster homes. Now, can you believe that? You know, Brother Benz was telling me that that the abortion rate is so high in the black community. In other words, we're killing our babies before they even form well enough in the mother's womb. We're killing the babies. And then the babies that we are having, we're having them in the house and we're molesting them. And they're not even ours. It's no wonder these kids have these traumatic experiences and things like that. Man, I need to run out there and buy me a popsicle. It's so hot in Los Angeles today. It's 89.6 Fahrenheit here in the studio right now. But I'll let the ice cream man go on by. He'll be by within the hour. You know how that is. Y'all want some ice cream? But I'm just telling, hello. I'm telling you, that is the truth. I want to give it to you. Now, you married these women. Some of you women, you married these guys. And you're not having these conversations about what happened when you were young. You know, you don't want to tell him that because now, you know, you're afraid you're going to lose him now. Well, if I tell him that, I sure enough lose him. If I tell him that, he won't have nothing to do with me. If I tell him that me and my brother performed incest on each other on a regular basis during our high school years because that's when we really came to full sexual bloomality or whatever. I can't tell him that because he's going to think I'm a slut. No, you may be telling him something that he was involved in too with his sister or his sister and brother. Because when you grow up in a home that is not strictly thoroughly Christian, and don't be confused, don't think that because there's a lot of money in the home that you grow up in, that mess doesn't happen. Now, you may say, well, Pastor John, how do you know how your children grew up? Because for every night that they were here in this house, myself or my wife were here in this home, except for when Lucy and I drove to Chicago when they were high school age and college age. I think Delia had just went to college, and Leslie was a senior in high school that year when we drove to Chicago. But we had a lady from the church come and stay in my home with them, one of my wife's dearest friends. That's how we know what went on in this house. No, as a parent, we never abandoned our responsibility to know who was around our daughters. And as I told you on other webcasts, my father would say, well, why don't you leave the girls over here? I say, oh, no, never, never. Why? Because I know how he was with my sister. See what I'm talking about? And I was honest enough to tell him, oh, heck no, not you. And I said, now, Dad, I love you. I really do. You're going to always be my daddy, and I love you. But I don't trust you around pretty little girls. And you need to be that way around some of them guys that you can't trust around pretty little boys, because you can't trust them. And please, can I really get candid here and say it like this? And if I was a pedophile, I wouldn't say it, because I'd be cutting my own throat. When I was a pastor at a church, and I've always been very concerned about the African-American male, especially the one that has women raising him. And we had a thing at our church, I forget what that class was called, but it was one night a week that I didn't have a Bible study, and a lot of the ladies would bring their boys to church. So I came back to the church, and I presented a class for boys. I think it was something like, what do we call this class? I think it like Little Soldiers or something like that. And some of these boys right in the middle of the central city, these were some rough little characters. They talk back to their mama, be fighting in school and everything like that. So when they messed up in the classroom, when I was teaching it, I'd make them stand in a corner, put them in a dark closet and close the door. Well, I had some feminized men around me, and they were thinking, we think that's too harsh. I said, wait a minute. You lazy scoundrels wouldn't even get up off your behind and help your own children do anything. And by the way, I find this strange that the very man that was against me in the church doing that, and daughters came up and had more bastard children out of wedlock than anybody in the church. Man, he's trying to tell me how to raise a child, and his child couldn't even keep her panties on. The hypocrisy of people like that. When you got a man that knows what to do with the young man, leave that man alone and let that man do that. He's trying to help that lad, and you don't help him by feminizing him. You tell the youngster, as you raise it, listen, parents, listen to me. This is a part of marriage counseling. You tell the youngster, I make the rules here. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Some of them boys would come in there, and they would try to take over the classroom. I said, oh, no, you're not taking over this classroom. I guess that's why today my daughter doesn't want me to teach in public schools, because I do like Mr. Becton did me, swatted my behind when I got out of line. And that kept me and them other boys. Charles Batts, I wonder if Charles is still alive. Billy Buzzy, Charles Batts, Billy Buzzy. Those are some of the rough guys in the classroom here in L.A. when I grew up. So if you guys know some people in L.A., I need to type that on the World Wide Web and look up Charles Batts and Billy Buzzy and stuff like that. Darlene Deal and her brother, who was some meanies on the school ground. Darlene used to chase me home from school almost every day. Her brother just made her mean. You know, I can see Darlene being a linebacker. I pitied the man that married her. I knew he didn't raise his hand towards her. Oh, no. You know what? Since I'm talking about these things, and these are very important things for me to talk about, let me jump back in on the guys that didn't have that background, that did not know how to talk about those things, but he got married. Now, let me get up and put the CD in the CD switcher, because I don't have a studio where I have somebody doing the work for me. I have to do the work myself in this here studio. But I'm going to play a number right now. And I think that this number kind of like identifies the way a man really feels when he had the opportunity for life to go the way it should, but because of his inability to maybe hear what I'm saying or to do what I'm saying, I want you ladies to know that when a man loses you and loses his family and loses control of that, that the man is not gonna, because I hear from a lot of ladies and they say, my man is not emotional enough for me. He never cries. He never cries. He's hard and he's stern.